Well, thanks again for listening to the Park Hills Podcast. If you want more information on things we're doing, go to parkhillschurch.com or the Park Hills Church app. God's attributes.
Yes.
Let's talk about them.
Let's do it.
What you got?
So I think what's interesting about when we talk about God's attributes, what he can do and what he does do, it's interesting that that implies that there are things God can't do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think might be a trippy thing for people to but you got to step into this thought because I think it's important for us to get it. So yeah. Take it away.
Yeah. I mean, I remember a conversation I had with somebody long, long ago. This was like when I was first in ministry, I was talking to a parent of a student and the parent was saying like, I have a really hard time saying God can't do that. God can't do this. God won't do this. Like God is powerful and capable of anything. He can do anything. And I, in maybe not as nice terms, just said, well, can God lie? Oh, well. I don't know. Well, can God sin? Can God break his own? Can God, you know, not be loving? Can God not do this?
And so you went full bulldog mode.
Yeah. Like. I mean, not in like a mean way. And it was, they didn't like walk away from it like, man, you were so mean. But I just like didn't, I mean, that really isn't the point of the story. The point of the story is just that like sometimes it is hard to think like there are things that God can't do.
Yes.
And when we look at generosity, if God is, so let's start somewhere else. If God is always loving, he can't be unloving. So any act that he does, even correct, if it feels unloving to us, anytime God is just, he doesn't put away his love so that he can then be just.
Correct.
He doesn't put away his grace in order to put discipline or accountability on someone. Like all of right, those things are always in play all the time. Like he is loving and just at the same time.
And what's a challenge for some people to think about is the opposite of love is actually not hate. Hate is ironically something that you do because you love something. Because you love the Cowboys, you you hate the Giants. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in a weird way, what's interesting is the opposite of love is actually not hate. The opposite of love is apathy. And God is never apathetic.
Yeah.
So, or indifferent or whatever. So in that sense, when we talk about, I think what you were kind of pushing in, like justice and some of those things, for God to love his people means that he has to, in some sense, hate something else. And it doesn't mean that he is evil or mean or bad or anything like that. But if you are choosing not to walk with him, he can't live in peace with you in that regard.
Yeah.
Now, if he just let you wander away, that's an interesting thing, but.
Yeah. Yeah. So then when we talk about God's generosity, if he is generous, if that's one of his attributes, then he can't be not generous.
Correct.
So what's the opposite of generous? Stingy?
Probably.
Or
probably stingy. And I think if you think about all the things the Bible says about, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, for example.
Yeah.
He's not stingy. He'll give. You know, you want to grow in love, he'll let you do it. You want to grow in joy? Yep, totally.
Yeah.
You want to be, you want to be more patient? He'll make that happen.
Yeah. Stingy, or I'm trying to think of, what's the other word? Greedy. Yeah. Not generous, greedy.
Maybe greedy, yeah.
Self-serving, maybe. So he can't be any of those things.
Which, hold on. You just said something I think that we need to push into. Self-serving. I think some people in today's world think he is self-serving and they completely neglect the actual story of Scripture, which is God linking himself to sinful human beings who do not deserve his generosity. And because God is linking himself to them, he sacrifices again and again and again and again and again. So he's not only unbelievably generous, but he's unbelievably generous to human beings. And he's the exact opposite of stingy to us, even though we sometimes go, I wish I could do this and he won't let me. He's actually not doing that. You know, the Ten Commandments, I've talked with students about this before. The true Ten Commandments in Hebrew are not do not do this. It is you shall not do this, which is more of a, it's not quite permissive, it's the opposite of permissive, but it's this idea of you can do whatever you want to do, but all it's going to do is kill you. It's going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. So if you choose to do things my way, this is how you're going to do it. And when you do it my way, you find life. And Jesus would say you find life to the full.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, also I'm thinking about self-serving. Like God always does what is in his best interest, but also our best interest. Like,
yes.
Yeah. So yeah, God is self-serving.
Because he's linked himself with us.
Yeah.
It's not in the best interest of the demons, for example. It's not in the best interest of Satan or whatever other forces are out there fighting against him. It's always in the best interest of us and of him.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's kind of like the pride humility thing. You can self-serving is always a sin unless you are perfect. Mm-hmm. If you are always loving, always just, always those things, then you can be self-serving because you are so good. If there's a degree of good, you are perfectly good, that self-serving is actually doing perfect goodness. So
that's wild, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. That's like, oh.
That's a really good thought that I think people, we're getting really theological all of a sudden. I don't think we expected that, but this is really,
it just went down there.
I enjoy this really podcast. Quick. But the idea, yeah, that if you are good and you are unendingly good, if you do good, that is generous, even if that good seems to not be good to someone else.
Yeah.
Which ties into so many things that the world is struggling with today, whether we talk about identity politics or we talk about sexuality and how we practice that, what we do and don't do. That's an interesting thought. That's good.
Yeah. Wow. So looking at like, if God is always generous, that means when we don't feel his generosity toward us, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean he's not generous, right? Just like when God brings justice or accountability in our lives, and it's not like we don't enjoy that. Nobody's like, oh, I mean, maybe if you have a super mature faith, you understand God's justice as good for you. You say, oh, I'm glad this is happening. Most of us, including myself, when I feel God's accountability, I'm like, this stinks. Like, I don't like this. So, but it's actually really good for me because if he doesn't put away his love to bring accountability to my life.
Right.
And so in the same way, he doesn't put away his love or generosity when he doesn't give me what I want.
Oh, totally. I think that's super helpful. And when I think about him choosing to give us generosity and by accountability standards, him pushing into that and showing us I'm less likely to do that thing again. I'm less likely to be that person again because I realize usually it exposes something in my heart that I don't like, shows me how much it hurt me, how much it hurts the people around me. That's a better way to get out of the cycle of sin than just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Removing it from your life or something.
Well, yeah. And even if like God was as generous with me as I want him to be, that probably wouldn't be good for me. Right? Like if I got everything, let's lean into that.
Generous in which ways?
Just think about like my prayers. God, I would like these things, whether they're ways for him to act, not just material things, but material things as well.
Yeah.
Material things that I wish I had or ways that I wished he acted or things that I wished he did. You know, if I think about, you know, every prayer I've ever prayed and asked for something, if God gave that to me, it probably wouldn't be good for me.
Right. I feel like that's an entirely other podcast that we need to do someday where we just talk about the things that we prayed about that we're glad God didn't say yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those in my life as well.
I mean, you could go as simple as like my, you know, elementary aged prayers where I wish I had this or I wish I had this or I wish I got, you know, got the bike or whatever. At some point, we grow out of like asking for what we now see as petty things.
Right.
Like I look back 20 years ago, I was probably asking for really petty things, but I'm sure 20 years from now, I'm going to look back at myself in my 30s and be like, those, you know what? Those were actually really petty things that you were asking for in those moments. Like, yeah. So
that's really good. And there's so many things that I have prayed for and wanted from God and thought he was not being generous. And I'm glad now that his generosity was not bestowed on me in the way that I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And actually he was more generous in that moment to me. I'm thinking about, you know, relationships that I asked him to repair that I'm glad are now gone, you know, or yeah, man, that you're sending me down some wild rabbit holes here. That's good. Hey. But coming back to the original concept. So the person that brought that up to you said, you know, I have a hard time thinking about things that God can't do. And your pushback was accurate. There's a lot of things God can't do. And it's not that he can't do them because he's incapable. I think because God is omnipotent, he can do whatever he wants to do, but it always has to be within the framework of his character.
Right.
And of who he is. Right?
Yeah.
So, for example, when I've had, you know, just the silly illustration of somebody saying, can God build a rock bigger than he can throw? That's just frivolous and stupid. There's no – I love the idea of the question is, well, if he built a rock so big that he can't throw it, then he's not as all-powerful as he says he is, or vice versa. If he can't build a rock bigger than he can throw because he can throw everything, then he's not really all-powerful. And I'm going, that's just a dumb exercise, and it kind of – you don't really understand the power of his character and who he is. Mm-hmm. He would never do something as frivolous and dumb as that. So then, again – it's outside of his character to waste his time doing something that we as humans are sitting around philosophizing, which we also are living in an age where I feel like the last 100 years or so, more humans are able to sit around and just think about things than ever have before. And it hasn't necessarily been for our betterment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
'Cause for the most of history, very few people got to just sit and think all day. Most people had to get a lot of work done every single day. In between the technological advances we've made, between the economic advancements we've made, we can just be lazy and sit and think. But a lot of times when we think dumb things that don't really need to be thought. So back to that question of, you know, can God do something he can't? No, he can't. And he is who he is. He's not going to step outside of who he is for the sake of you, which I think applies to Jesus not going with Satan's request in the wilderness, for example. It wasn't that Jesus was incapable of turning the stones to bread. He's more than capable, but he's more interested in obeying the will of his Father rather than the will of Satan.
Right.
And that's the lesson that we're supposed to learn, is just stepping back going, which he would never ask me to turn stones to bread because I'm not capable of doing that.
Yeah, and I think the point there where we have to go, and this is the big discipleship question, is it's because Jesus realizes that it's better to follow God's will in those moments than to follow what seems good in the moment. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge discipleship question. It's really that heart question that we can ask ourselves about so many things at so many times, is when we follow God, it's because we trust that what he offers is better than what the world offers. And so that plays into morality like crazy, because right now, especially as culture shifts away from the Judeo-Christian ethic, just in general, as culture shifts away from that, a lot of these questions of morality are being challenged. Like, what originally our culture agreed was immoral now sees as okay and moral. And so the decision is against culture now. And culture tells us, no, you should live this way. You should live these, they'll even call them freedoms. You should have these freedoms. You shouldn't be bound by someone else telling you what to do. And the true heart moment for a disciple of Jesus is to say, I know what the world is offering, but I see a relationship with God and following God as better than the benefits of choosing a certain lifestyle or even individual decisions. And that's such a discipleship question. Like, do we see following God as better? And that's what Jesus saw in that moment. That's why he made that decision. Mm-hmm. Like, all the kingdoms of the world, you know, there's all this writing about, you know, did Satan really have the power to do that? Were they really Satan's kingdoms? Like, who cares? He probably could have put something together like that. And Jesus says, you know what is better than right now taking the easy way, not having to go to the cross and just get all these kingdoms? You know what's better? Doing what God wants me to do. Ultimately, that's better for me. And so he says no to Satan's offer. I think it's the same offer we have all the time. There's an easy way. to experience life. And we got to say, you know what? This is harder, but it's better. It's ultimately better.
So to wrap that thought up and move into kind of our last thought for this podcast, I think one way to say that would be, let's choose to live out God's generosity with our lives. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that wraps that. That's good. And what Satan is trying to do there is to move Jesus into his own version of generosity, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And Jesus being God saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And then quotes Deuteronomy, which is always my favorite memory verses, you know.
Yeah.
So I think the final thought on this podcast, this particular episode, that I want us to process, and honestly, I think we've given enough. This might be one of those episodes that you go back to, listener, again and again, and just let your mind wander into things that you didn't think about before. I didn't expect that coming into the podcast booth today, and I'm already sitting here just, there's things that are going through my head that I'm going, oh, I'm going to ponder that for a little bit. So that was really good, Alex. But when I think about God and his generosity, one of the things that I love about him, about God, is he is exactly who he says he is. And so when we talk about integrity, I want to be a leader who is a man of integrity, right? I would love it that if people got to know every aspect of my life, they would find that I'm exactly who I say I am all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more true today than it was 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? At least I think that's true in my own life. Mm-hmm. But my hope would be that, you know, people don't, if they were to spend time with me 24/7, that they would see that I am exactly who I say I am. That would be great. I'm sure there's still areas of my life that are going to spark for me in the next, you know, year to 10 years, 20 years, you know, your point of looking back 20 years from now and kind of regretting the way in which you're living some of this out right now. I'm sure that's totally going to be true, because that's been true every era of my life. I look back at and go, man, I thought I was further along in this journey than I was. But I do love that God is molding and changing me. But with that said, I am still not the man of integrity I want to be. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that makes God so unbelievably holy in my mind, other than us, different than us, that's what holy means, is he never has to not be who he is. He just is who he is all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I mean, that integrity is implicit in God's character.
Yes.
And then earned in ours.
Yeah.
You know, I got to interact with a guy named Mark Cahill. He wrote a book called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven and One Heartbeat Away. And he's like, what can't you do in heaven? And people are like, sin. He's like, yeah, there's another thing. You can't evangelize, because everybody there already knows Jesus. So he was just a guy who evangelized. And he used to hang out like on the strip and talk to prostitutes and pimps and stuff like that. And somebody said, what if somebody saw you talking to a prostitute, that you'd lose all your witness? He says, you know what? Like, I want to build the type of integrity where if somebody saw me talking to a prostitute, they'd be like, there's Mark preaching to a prostitute again, sharing the gospel and loving that person in a way that nobody ever has. He's like, I want to have that kind of integrity. I was like, man, what a type of integrity that I think us as pastors, I mean, everybody, not just pastors, but everybody should strive for, you know? So I'm not saying like that means right now, just go out and do those types of things. I'm not saying don't do those types of things. I'm just saying build integrity so that what looks to others like a compromising situation, those who know you, trust you, and you yourself know that you're there doing God's work.
Yeah, I love that idea. So we can't become what we need to be exactly, but we can pursue God and he'll make us more like that than we are right now. But the beautiful idea is he never is not who he says he is.